But I'd like to ask you why you use drugs.
Different drugs for different things. Right now, I think it's in my interest, in ours perhaps, maybe in the interest of the greater good, for me to smoke a joint and calm down. It's been demonstrably proven that temper tantrums are not the best way to do interviews, and probably my life will be easier and yours too if I smoke a joint. Now, if I were to sit here in a fit of anger and you saw me eating acid, if I were you, I'd leave with all the equipment. That cranks it up even worse.
On this episode of The Commercial Break,
Hunter S. Thompson was a very famous author, counterculture author, who started a type of journalism called gonzo journalism.
Mm-hmm. He worked for Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone. He worked for Sports Illustrated. He worked for a lot of places. Most of the places fired him after a hot minute because he was too fucking high
wild
to do his job. And there he is. I look over into the lawn and there he is in the exact same position that he was 8 hours ago. He is laying in the grass, sunglasses on, hat tipped over his head, beer in his hand. Same beer that I bought him at the beginning. He's just sitting there.
Pills, right?
Listen to this.
With Marilyn Manson?
I once gave Marilyn Manson a pill so that he would stop talking so much.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yes, welcome back to another episode of The Commercial Break.
Brian Green, this is the director of Metaverse Services, Kristen Hoadley, and my dear friend.
How in the hell are you,
Best
Brian?
Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. I thought I'd go back to the old...
I like it.
Just for a show. Just for an episode.
Yeah, just switch it up.
All right, if you're missing it, here it is. There you go. Welcome back to another episode of this, The Commercial Break, the only commercial break you will ever need, guaranteed, or your money back. 30-day money back guarantee on The Commercial Break.
That's right. And
plenty of you, I'm sure, are opting for that. So we got this YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
It's getting a little momentum. It's not, you know, listen, we're not big.
We're not YouTubers.
Don't give a shit about us. No, now we're not YouTube. We're barely podcasters, Chrissy.
Yes.
Okay. So we get this months ago. We did this stupid, silly thing about that stripper movie starring Elizabeth Berkley, Showgirls.
Oh, yeah, Showgirls.
Okay.
Yep.
So some person who's got obviously a sty in their eye decided they would write this comment that basically was like, obviously you have never seen this movie. Elizabeth Berkley was just doing what the director told her to do. Next time you decide to review a classic film.
Oh yeah. It's kind of like a cult classic.
It
now.
Is a cult classic. Yeah. By the way, I've seen
because
it
it's so
a
bad.
Million times. It's so bad. It's good.
Yeah.
You can't watch it. Elizabeth Berkley looks great in the movie. She is a horrible actress, but she looks great in the movie. It's too funny to ignore. If it comes on, I watch it.
Yeah.
But then she says, next time you decide to review a movie, maybe you should watch it first.
Oh.
Thanks. The funny part is, you thought that was a movie review.
I mean,
come on. This is a stupid fucking show. How many times do I have to disclaim this? This is a stupid fucking show. No one cares. There's no facts in this show. We don't tell the truth.
No.
We're not interested in the truth. I am not...
We're not fact-checking.
Yeah, I'm not MSNBC or Fox News here. I'm not fact... I don't have a whole department of people fact-checking. I just have fun. Whatever I can remember, and this little pea brain of mine comes out on the microphone. And if you don't care for it, so hit the subscribe button, but then don't watch any more of the videos. I just need your subscription. I want to go from 17 to 18 subscribers on that YouTube before the year's out.
That's right.
So thank you very much for that. Story time with Brian.
Story time
with Brian. I should get like a little music.
We
made
do
up.
Need a little
story
bit
time
of
with
music.
Brian. Here comes the bullshit out of Brian's mouth. When I was a young, ripe teenager, I had a friend. Let's call him Eduardo.
Okay.
Eduardo turned me on to Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh yeah.
When I guess I was like 16 or 17 years old, and I had no knowledge of Hunter S. Thompson until this guy moved into town from where he was from, I think Texas, and he handed me a copy of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Classic.
And he said, you have to read this book. If you haven't read it, you have to read this book. I said, I haven't read it. I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. This huge book, Fear and Loathing.
Yeah.
And I started to read it, and I was hooked immediately.
Blown away.
Blown away at the sheer, like, audacity of this book. And the style in which it was written, for those of you that don't know, Hunter S. Thompson was a very famous author, counterculture author, who started a type of journalism called gonzo journalism.
Mm-hmm. He worked for Rolling Stone.
He worked for Sports Illustrated. He worked for a lot of places. Most of the places fired him after a hot minute because he was too fucking high to do his job. He was wild. He is the definition of debauchery. Like, I think he once said, let me see if I get this. This is not word for word. Please don't write on the fucking YouTube page about this, you dumb shit. This is not word for word, but he said, I hate to advise anyone that taking drugs, being violent, general debauchery, and drunkenness is a good idea, but it's worked for me.
It did
work for him.
Yeah.
He was a drug addict. He was an enthusiast of narcotics.
He was an
alcoholic. He loved guns. Cannons. He bought cannons.
Yes,
the guy had cannons on his ranch, and he shot them at people a lot of times. I think he shot his first wife. Didn't he shoot his first wife?
Yeah.
And then claimed it was, you know, they were playing a game. He was trying to shoot the apple off her head or something. Some shit like that. But I mean, if you saw Hunter S. Thompson, you would not let this guy shoot an apple off your head. He was just like a crotchety old drunk who smoked his cigarettes in one of those old lady extenders.
Yes.
He had the cigarette extender, right?
the wild glasses.
Yeah, his affectation, everything. He was so nuanced, yet absolutely in your face. It was unbelievable. And I loved everything about the mythology of Hunter
S.
Thompson.
That's fascinating.
Died in 2005. And to my knowledge, there's only been two movies that have been made about Hunter S. Thompson. I want to say this. Gonzo journalism is basically, rather than tell the story in a third person, like almost every other journalist does, right?
Mm-hmm.
The man was shot on the street, witnesses say. He would put himself in the middle of the story. He would become the story.
Uh-huh.
And why it was gonzo journalism is because it was no longer about whatever he was sent to write about. It was about his experience trying to figure out what went on.
Yeah.
So Fear and Loathing became about two trips to Las Vegas with his attorney, who he referred to as my attorney for the entire story of the book.
Was it Benicio Del Toro that played?
He played him in one of the two movies.
It's Fear and Loathing.
Fear and Loathing.
Yeah.
And then I think the other one was Bill Murray did Fear and Loathing version. But that was like, it was like a script written kind of around Fear and Loathing. But word for word, explicit version, Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro. It's a classic movie.
It
is so fucked up. But it's everything that you would imagine if you had read the book.
I pictured him crawling on the floor of the casino, right?
Just like, he was like drinking.
Taking Quaaludes.
My friend and I, this is the same guy that I lived in the back porch with.
Oh, right.
So for those of you that haven't heard this episode, at some point in my homelessness, basically traveling around, working at restaurants, trying to find a place to sleep, we moved in with one of Eduardo's friends. The guy had a two-bedroom apartment. There were already two people and his girlfriend living there.
So you lived on the
But
porch.
He had a screened-in back porch. Probably the size of this table. I mean, it was tiny. No heat, no air conditioning, no cover from the rain. If the rain was moving just a little bit sideways, everything was getting wet. But Eduardo set it up as a bedroom. He put his bed against the wall with sheets and covers and everything. He had a record player out there, all these knickknacks. He was trying to live the gonzo lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I was following him down that road, right? I was just
emerging. Wait for me.
Wait for me. Wait, Quaaludes? Wait for me. A sheet of acid? I'll take one too. I mean, and at night, when this guy, the guy who rented the apartment, when he was at work, he was like a manager of a restaurant. He didn't get home till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's the life.
He had this big whiteboard in the dining room, which was right outside. You know, the screened-in porch was right next to the dining room.
Uh-huh.
His big whiteboard on the wall. For what reason, I have no idea. But David and I
coming up with ideas
would just get as fucked up as we could possibly get and just write down ideas about how we're going to change the world. Music lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Our next album is going to be, we're going to start this company. We're going to change the world. We were just so stupid. I mean, we were just absolute debauchery is all I got to say. So Jerry Garcia had died a couple of years previous, and the big announcement comes out that the rest of the band was now going to tour under the name The Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to put together something that was going to tour around called the Further Fest.
That's right.
Right? Remember that?
I do remember the Further Fest.
It's a big deal. Everyone was excited about it. If you were running in certain circles, I mean, you had to have your head in a hole not to know that the Further Fest was coming to your town. And it was sure to be just a shit show from beginning to end. It was a whole day festival from like 10 in the morning to like 12 at night. Band after band after band.
Shakedown Street.
Shakedown Street. All 9 yards. So David and I were in the middle of idolizing Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas when we heard the Further Fest was going to come into town. Let me give you one sentence of Fear and Loathing. I want to get this word for word. 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, and a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers. Oh, yeah, and a quart of tequila, a quart of rum, and a case of Budweiser. 2 pints of raw ether and a dozen Amels. Amels are fucking like
He was not worried about a headache.
Yeah.
Next day.
That's what Hunter S. Thompson drove to Las Vegas with in his cars. David and I decided we were going to try and collect as many of these things into
get close as possible.
Yeah. A box we called the Further Box. We were going to save all this up for this one event. The Further Fest.
Okay.
Right? So David and I were going to do it right. We weren't going to let anybody get in our way of having a good time that day. And we started to collect this. Here and there, we'd pick up this, we'd pick up that. And we put it in this box called the Further Box that would sit out in this open screen floor. And then we got a day off before and 2 days off afterwards.
Good thinking.
It was like clearing 5 days schedule.
Yeah.
We knew, right? Yes, we knew. Yes. We're going to be in no condition to do anything resembling responsibility.
Plus, you could possibly still be up for, 4 days.
Yeah, that was the thing is that I think we knew that sleep was not going to come. We knew it was going to be a hot mess, right? And we knew that it was probably going to be something we would have to suffer through. Like, that many narcotics, unless you're Hunter S. Thompson, you're not like having fun after a minute.
No.
It's just you're doing it for the sake of doing it, hoping that the next thing you take or thing you do is going to bring you to a new level of wonderfulness.
Hi.
But it usually just gets you more paranoid, more upset, more stressed out, less sleep, more hung, the whole 9 yards. So we collect this box that's nowhere near as cool as Hunter S. Thompson's thing because half of those stuff has been, is illegal and you can't find it anyway. But well, let's just say we have a nice collection.
Okay.
All right.
Day
before Further Fest comes, we have the day off. And our whole intention is we get a case of beer and we're like, and we have our guitars. We're like, okay, let's sing a couple songs. Let's drink a couple beers. Let's get some sleep. Let's wake up first thing tomorrow, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. When the sun comes up, we're up and we get going.
You would know because you're on the porch.
That's right. You couldn't sleep past 6:30 in the morning because the bird, chirp, 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 chirp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or it would be raining or cold or hot or whatever. And it was the middle of the summer, I think, when this Further Fest came.
That sounds right.
So let's say at noon, we'd crack a beer. It wasn't even 2 p.m. before that box was broken open and all over the place. And we were halfway through it by 9 p.m. we were just so torn up.
Yeah.
By the time Further Fest rolled around, the box was dry. There was nothing in there.
God.
Not a fucking thing. And it was also like 2 p.m. So we had
We
blew our wad. We were like little children. It's like my son. You can have 2 gummy bears later or 1 gummy bear now, right? You'll take the 1 gummy bear now all day long. We go to the festival at 2 p.m. Somebody picks us up. We get a ride. We go to the festival and we are just sideways. Sideways and really hurting. Really hurting. No sleep.
Hot sun.
Yeah, hot sun just baking on you. We're on the lawn. We don't have anything. There's no air conditioning in sight, And we find a place on the lawn and we're basically just frozen there. We're not moving to go
anywhere.
You found
your spot.
We found our spot.
And you were staying there.
And we were going to stay there, protected, shielded from prying eyes and police officers and helicopters and everything, right? I don't even remember who played. I don't even remember what the music was. But eventually, I drank a couple more beers and I got in the groove. So by 4 or 5 p.m., I found some friends. By 4 or 5 p.m., I was like, okay, I'm hurting, but I'll make the best of it.
I'll make it through.
Let's dance, right?
Yeah.
Eduardo decides he's going to lay down in the grass and, he just laid down in the grass. So everyone was just too fucked to even communicate to each other. So I just kind of danced off and I was like, I'll find him eventually. There's no cell phones at this time.
No.
Midnight rolls around. you know, everybody is singing on their way out the door. No, our love will not fade away. Dun, 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 dun. Right, the whole song. Everyone's yes. just, you know, it's the best thing that's ever happened. And I realize that I have no idea where Eduardo is. I haven't seen him in like 8 hours, right? Since I left him at 4 o'clock. So I start freaking out.
Yeah.
I don't even know where he is. I hope he gets home. I don't know. But I decide that I'm going to wait it out. I'm just going to let everyone leave and maybe he'll find me. I'll stand right here near the door and maybe everybody will find me. Well, everyone left. I'm talking there's like 20 people left in the venue. Right. And I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't see him. And there he is. I look over into the lawn and there he is. In the exact same position that he was 8 hours ago. He is laying in the grass, sunglasses on, hat tipped over his head, beer in his hand. Same beer that I bought him at the beginning. He's just sitting there.
He's frozen.
I'm like, oh, Eduardo! Yeah. I run over and I'm like, dude.
Are you alive?
And then all of a sudden his hand like lifts up and he rips off his sunglasses. And he's like, what happened? And I was like, were you sleeping? He's like, no, dude, I took it further. I was like, you certainly did, bro. Did you hear any of the music? He's like, I don't know where I went for the last 8 hours. Just hanging out.
Went in.
He didn't even know what day it was. Hunter S. Thompson was the coolest thing to us, unfortunately. Unfortunately for the rest of the world, no one has a constitution like Hunter S. Thompson.
This is true.
With the notable exception, and now being proven in a court of law, Johnny fucking Depp.
Really?
21 Jump Street Johnny fucking Depp. The guy who was busting everybody for their bags of weed and grass is now probably the world's most recognizable drug abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the way like, oh my God, like, you know, intervention.
What's been going on?
Do you know what an addict's worst enemy is? Time and money. Those two things. If you have time on your hands and you have money in your pocket, it doesn't. Drugs.
True.
Drugs aren't a problem.
Yeah.
You want to know why?
Right.
Because you can keep affording them.
Exactly.
And no one's asking you to do anything. Right.
True.
Johnny Depp will never ask for another penny in his life. He will never need another penny in his life. The guy has hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He was good friends with Hunter S. Thompson. And he picked up the torch right where Hunter left off. When Hunter S. Thompson committed suicide, Johnny Depp paid over $1.5 million to get a cannon.
That's right.
That would shoot his ashes over the Rio Grande River.
Yep.
And when Johnny shot those ashes out of that cannon, I think he shot them right back into his mouth and absorbed Hunter S. Thompson's drug constitution. This trial that is going on right now, for those of you that don't know, Amber Heard, his ex-wife.
Yes.
Wrote an op-ed in 2015, I think it was, wrote an op-ed explaining that Johnny Depp was abusing her, like physically, mentally.
Well, she didn't name him.
Okay.
She didn't name him, but she said in a past relationship, that's what had happened. And so
she
everybody
him.
took that to mean it was Johnny.
Everyone drew their conclusions. He lost Jack Sparrow. No one wants to work with him. It really became a huge problem for Johnny Depp's career. But if the allegations were true, that's no laughing matter either.
Like, right.
You can't run around, you know, smacking your loved one.
No.
In any situation, girl, boy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnny Depp has a story of his own to tell, which is Amber Heard was the abuser in the relationship. And
I read a little bit about
that. So it's he said, she said, basically.
Yes.
Sounds like it was a big fucking hot mess
from
the beginning. It sounds like there was a lot of abuse going on
both sides,
but it sounds also like this is just a drug-filled party that went on a little bit too long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You ever been to those parties where like everyone's getting fucking twisted and then at one point in the night it turns sour?
Right.
Like the whole vibe turns nasty, you know? People start like hiding their bags of cocaine and going in the bathroom in little groups and no one wants, you know? It's like, I thought we were all hanging out together.
Yeah.
No. They went to the bathroom. They've been in there for 3 hours. They're hoarding the blow, man. Johnny Depp decides, this case, $100 million defamation suit against Amber Heard for this op-ed that she put out, is not about winning or losing, because Johnny Depp will never get $100 million out of Amber Heard. She doesn't have that kind of money, nor is he likely to win the case because she never named him by name.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to prove defamation in any situation, let alone when you're famous. it's just a different set of circumstances. When all your whole life is an open book, it's just a very
public eye.
Yeah, it's just a very different circumstances than if you were to write an op-ed about me and, you know, damage my podcasting career.
Oh my God.
You could just go back to whatever episode and just be like, hey, he told it. I didn't say it. He did. So he has this $100 million defamation suit over the last 2 weeks, as we're recording this, over the last 2 weeks. Johnny Depp knows all of this information is going to come out. He knows that there are pictures and videos of his drug abuse, of things that he's said, of all kind of stuff. He knows, and he's prepared because he gets up on the stand and essentially gets cross-examined live on television in front of millions and millions of people, streaming it on the internet and everything. Johnny Depp doesn't care if he wins or loses. This is about making him a likable guy again so he can get more movie roles. He's trying to rehab his image in a court of law. This is my opinion, and I've heard other people say this, like actual attorneys, which I'm not.
You just play one on the podcast.
I'm also, you know, Gene Siskel apparently too. So Johnny Depp has been doing this performative dance on the stand for like 4 days now. And this attorney, this attorney, first of all, has no idea who he's dealing with. Johnny Depp is the world, one of the world's best actors.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is funny. Like, he is naturally funny. He's a stumbly, mumbly kind of guy, but he doesn't care what this guy asks. He's answering it with all honesty. And what has come out is that Johnny Depp is a world-class drug abuser.
Really?
I mean, he is just...
I didn't quite know the extent. I mean, I figured, but not to this extent.
He doesn't... He's like Hunter S. Thompson. He doesn't care. This is rubbed off... Like, you or me, we would not write our doctor and ask for cocaine or ecstasy.
Right.
Johnny Depp writes emails to his doctor asking for cocaine or ecstasy because...
Do they give it to him?
I don't know. But he doesn't care. He's putting in text messages. He's telling people. Yeah. He's riding around. He's carrying around a box full of blow. He's, you know, acid pills. Him and Marilyn Manson are just having a grand old time.
Jeez.
I have taken some. I think what we'll do is over the next couple of days or weeks, we'll play more and more clips because there's just too much and it's just too good.
Okay.
I did the audio version instead of the video version because... quite frankly, I don't have the time to go through 16 hours of
the testimony.
Testimony.
Yeah.
But I cut up a couple clips.
Some snippets.
Would you like to hear?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, all you TCB fans. Super excited to let you know that The Commercial Break is now available on video on Spotify. All you have to do is go to Spotify and search for The Commercial Break Live. It's two different channels right now, so search for The Commercial Break Live, and the video episode will be posted one day after the audio version, which you can still find at The Commercial Break. When you search any podcast player, go to tcbpodcast.com. Get more information about Chrissy and I. You can listen to all the audio. You can watch all the video right from there. You can also connect with us on social media at The Commercial Break on Instagram and YouTube. YouTube.com/The Commercial Break is still the only place to find every single piece of video that The Commercial Break has ever done. Go there, like, comment, subscribe, hate on us, do whatever. And while you're hating on us, do us a favor and send us a text message or call and leave a voice message at 661-2-YOYO. That's 661-237-8296. Ask a question, leave a comment, tell us something you'd like to hear on the show, or if you'd like to be on the show and you have an interesting story to tell, let us know that too. Chrissy and I wanted to take a moment to thank you for taking a moment to leave a review on your favorite podcast player. And it really does help grow the show. We could not be more grateful. Also, you can help us by using our sponsors' specialized URLs or codes anytime you hear them on the show. You get free shit. It tells our sponsors we're doing our job. It's like sending us a tip for all this mediocre content we've been creating for you. And now, if you don't mind, we'll take a few minutes to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with this episode of The Commercial Break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I'll just let you listen to... Let's do a drugs one first. I'll just let you listen to this and you tell me what you think, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. All right, this is about drugs. Johnny Depp talking about drugs.
Drugs.
Not saying there is, but you were asking for more cocaine and you were asking for more ecstasy, correct?
I wasn't asking for more ecstasy. I was asking for ecstasy because that was what I was requested from. Was requested by Ms. Hurd.
And one of your good friends that you've taken drugs with before is Marilyn Manson, right?
Yes, we've taken we've drank together. We've had cocaine together maybe a couple of times.
Couple of times.
Pills, right?
Listen to this.
With Marilyn Manson.
I once gave Marilyn Manson a pill so that he would stop talking so much.
I'm just imagining Marilyn
Here,
Manson.
Take this.
Marilyn Manson, you got to shut up, man.
Yeah.
I just imagine a long day or night or several of like cocaine abuse.
Yeah. Just and talking and Marilyn's talking,
just
talking,
yapping
talking.
Away about his new album or whatever. And Johnny's like, can't take it anymore, man. You got to shut up, Marilyn. You got to shut up.
Take
4 Vicodin. Call me in the morning. Take 6 Xanax.
Say, stop talking.
He admits to drugging his friend, so he stops talking. This is a riot. I'd love one day at this house. At Johnny Depp's house. He should, if he needs money, he should just sell a day with Johnny Depp.
True, and it's a whole experience.
I would buy, you know, people are paying $50 million to go to the ISS station, the International Space Station. I would
forget that.
I would happily.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, a week with Johnny Depp. I'd certainly want protective gear. That's what I'd want. I don't do drugs now. I just want to be a part of the action. I just want to put myself into the middle of the action. You want more?
Yes,
all right,
please.
Here we go. Here's something about a picture.
Mr. Depp, do you recognize this picture as being...
By the way, he's very mumbly and stumbly, so there's long pauses in between this stuff, and I'm sorry, but I thought I'd leave it for posterity's sake, but second, for affectation.
Okay.
It's important, I think, you understand how Johnny Depp is on the stand. Like, he doesn't have a care in the fucking world. I'm almost convinced that he's high right now.
I was going to say.
He wears sunglasses
like
some days.
Right,
yeah, of course he is.
A picture of you.
Yes, Miss Hurd kindly showed it to me the day after she took it, yes.
Okay.
kindly.
Kindly.
This picture. This is a picture of you on a black leather couch, passed out, correct?
Passed out is an interesting way of putting it.
I call it fucked up.
Not bad.
I call it high on fentanyl.
Not agree.
But, yeah, not agree. Hearsay, Your Honor. Well, I passed out. I'm fucked up. I don't want people thinking I'm a. I don't want people thinking I'm a lightweight.
Are you asleep?
Where is it? What residence?
That's in Boston.
I'm sorry.
That was in Boston.
Washington.
When I was doing Black Mass.
In Boston, and that's ice cream on your lap, correct?
It is indeed. Okay. Miss Hurd asked me to hold the ice cream as she noticed that I was on the nod. That means falling asleep.
That means falling asleep while high on opiates. No, that's right? What it's called. Yeah. On the nod. Yeah.
So nodding
just
out.
To let you know, it's a picture of Johnny Depp, and he's got a milkshake, a chocolate milkshake, and he's like passed out on the couch with his head, you know, on the back of the couch, yeah. You know, like moved over the back of the couch, and the milkshake is just all over the bottom half of him. He obviously was holding it, and it spilled. Yeah.
From the 17-hour day that I'd worked, and also the opiates that I'd ingested. and if you'll notice, my right hand is in my pocket.
I was actually looking for more opiates.
I was going
opiates.
For one more. Yeah.
I couldn't find my Vicodin. I fell asleep looking for my Vicodin, Your Honor.
So I wasn't participating in the Festival of Ice Cream.
The Festival of Ice Cream.
I was participating in the Festival of Percocet, Your Honor. I'd like the record to show. I had 20 Percocet that day. He's like, he doesn't give a
no,
shit.
No, he doesn't at all.
I love
all.
It. I love this. It's refreshing.
He is very honest.
At one point in the trial, I've watched a lot of this now. At one point in the trial, the attorney says, are you at all interested in getting to the bottom, like getting to the truth, right? And he goes, I am only interested in the truth. I have a love affair with the truth. And I got to be honest, I think he's being honest. Yeah, I think he's being honest. He doesn't give a shit. He knows that he's a big star and that no one cares whether or not he's... Now, listen, does he have a problem with drugs? I don't know. I think, you know, you only have a problem with drugs when it's becoming a problem. It sounds like he's
like
just having
a
party. He's been sober a couple times, by the way. He's sobered up from alcohol because he does admit that that's an issue, that he can't control the demon, as he puts it, that is... him on alcohol and
he moved to other things.
Yeah, he moved to cocaine, which is meth. That's
and
such
opioids.
A better Well, I don't know anybody that becomes a monster on opioids.
Okay. I was holding her ice cream and because she knew what was going to happen, that I would fall asleep and it would drop. And that was
Oh, sorry, cut off right there. Yeah, so, I mean, Amber...
So she was doing it just to kind of, like, see that it was going to happen. He was going to drop the milkshake, and then she took a picture.
You and I were having a conversation about someone that I dated, and I'm sure that you've had this similar experience. Sometimes you get in relationships with people that, you know, they might call it narcissism, narcissistic disorder, or borderline personality disorder, or whatever it is. If you've been in one of these relationships, then you know... Why is Amber taking these photographs of drugs on the table, you know, Johnny in embarrassing positions? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Johnny didn't abuse Amber Heard. I guess that they're going to get to the bottom of that. I don't think he's ever been convicted of that, by the way, either. And there are pictures of Johnny with bruises and cuts and scrapes, and he got his fingertip cut off. That
Jeez.
He claimed was Amber.
Did I know. Go too far.
it's like, but that's what happens when two people who are fucked up just get in the same room and don't stop getting fucked up.
Yep.
But I was going to say that gaslighting is a buzzword these days. Everyone says, you know, oh, I'm being gaslighted, gaslight this and gaslight that. Mm-hmm. There is the just kind of innocent version of gaslighting, which is people don't know how to maturely have a conversation without turning it into it's your fault, not my fault.
Right.
But then there's like the very serious kind of gaslighting, which is premeditated, planned attempts to make you look bad so that I don't look like an abuser. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a whole manipulative tactic. And it feels to me after watching a lot of this that at least and again, I don't know if Johnny probably was abusive also. I'm sure he was. But it seems to me that Johnny also suffered some of this in the relationship.
It was a two-way thing.
And she was taking all kind of pictures of... She was recording him all the time. She was doing videotapes.
He was recording her.
She was recording him.
Yeah, that was...
She shit on his bed.
What?
She shit on his bed.
What?
She shit on his bed.
No.
No one shits on your bed. No. You don't let someone shit on your bed. No. That's fucking disgusting. Yeah. That is only done on Quaaludes, cocaine, or methamphetamines. How would you think it would ever be okay to shit on... And she shit on his side of the bed near his pillow.
Oh, my God.
Like, I mean, this is just... That's just insanity.
This is an awful relationship.
Unless
my
they're
God.
Into pee-pee-poo-poo. Yeah. You want to hear about the finger?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
You dipped your finger in paint after suffering an injury.
Suffering an injury? He cut it off. He cut off the top of his finger. She cut off the top of his finger.
She cut off his finger?
According to him.
Okay.
According to him. right? Now, he went around telling everybody that he did it. So I think there's a little gray space right there. Okay. Like either he was trying to deflect blame so that no one knew that his wife cut off his finger.
Or
he cut it off himself.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes, that was after I'd, after writing on the walls, the blood had kind of dried, as it were, and so I stuck my finger into a
ran out of blood. Yeah. Let me get some paint.
This fucking thing stopped bleeding again. Amber, bring the knife. He was writing messages to her. Like she was going to film a movie and he was like, you know, be careful at the top. Meaning like be careful when you're famous.
Yeah.
And so I think he says it here. Hold on.
Mineral spirits to
mineral spirits.
Put my verbal messages onto the wall.
You'd agree with me that there was quite a bit of damage to the house in Australia after this incident, correct?
Sounds like it.
There was quite a bit of damage to the house during the entire incident, yes.
And you don't remember the television breaking, do you?
I remember there was a coffee cup stuck into the screen or a plate or something like that.
Coffee cup or a plate stuck into the screen.
Oh my God.
I just
God.
Want one day with these people. I want protective gear. I want a hazmat suit and I just want to go in there and I just have fun. You know,
things
I want Marilyn there.
Off the
I want
rails.
Amber there. I want Johnny there. I want the whole crew. I want the regular lineup. I just want to be in the room. This sounds...
It sounds crazy.
This same guy that I went to the Further Fest with, right?
The one that fell asleep.
And fast forward a year and a half, some change later, he was dating this girl who was younger than he was, a beautiful girl, almost like a porcelain doll. And she had a real weird, I would say weird, but interesting personality.
Mm-hmm.
She had an interesting affectation. She looked like a porcelain doll. She acted like a porcelain doll, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But apparently when they got behind closed doors, she was really quite a different person, right? When she was with me or outside, she was just very quiet, demure, didn't say a lot, right? She literally was kind of a little bit strange, like Bjork. Like a really super hot Bjork, right? And so so we're in Miami in this little boutique hotel, and I was spending the night in the room across from them. And the next morning, I got up. It's like this boutique hotel where you walk in the front door of the hotel, and there is a bar that you check into. You know what I'm talking about? The one on Collins Avenue. The ones on Collins Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very similar. They don't really have a check-in stand.
They're funky.
Yeah, they're funky. Yeah. They had this big screen TV at the time that not a lot of people had big screen TVs on the wall, flat screen TV on the wall, bar.
Yeah.
You checked in, then you walked up a set of stairs and there was a hallway with a number of rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely place. Wonderful. So we got two of these rooms. And then outside of each of these rooms, you know, all those places down there, they're very clustered, but they have these alleyways on the side of them that usually turn into gardens. They're like, you know, a garden that you can go sit in, or maybe they even have a pool, but this one didn't. It's just like a little garden with trees and flowers and go sit. Okay.
Yeah.
So I spend the night, you know, gallivanting around South Beach. I come in super late at like 3 or 4 in the morning. The person that I was with was watching like Judge Judy when I walked in the door or whatever.
Getting wild in Miami.
Naked. She was watching Judge Judy naked.
Okay.
So we made out for a while and then I went to sleep. So next morning, I go downstairs. I knock on their door. I don't hear anything. I go downstairs and she, the girlfriend, is sitting outside and she looks upset. And I said, oh, hey, what's your name? What's going on? Where is Eduardo? Where did he go? And she said, well, he's not here. He had to check into a different hotel room.
Oh.
And I said, oh, gosh, what happened? And she said, well, I don't want to get into all the details, but we got into an argument and he threw the TV out the window. He threw the TV out the window.
He did that?
I thought that had to be a joke, right? And this girl's a little strange. So I was like, okay. So the other girl who was with me is like, this can't be true. Like, you know, he didn't do that. And so I go to the front desk and I'm like, hey, did this guy check out last night? Or, you know, was there some kind of incident there?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. There was. Someone complained that they were outside smoking a cigarette and a wind and a television came flying by their head.
Oh,
and
my God. Was
like, a television came flying by their head. Yes, sir. It's almost a, it's almost a mass murder. You know, it was like,
she
it's like
pushed
some
Eduardo.
She pushed Eduardo to the brink. He threw the fucking television out of the window. And this was a time when they did not have, the flat screen TVs were not 6 pounds. They were like, you know, 40 pound TVs. And some guy was out there smoking cigarettes. And out comes a TV. It just sat on the second floor.
Oh my God.
It was wild. Not wild like this, but, you know, kind of wild anyway.
It's you could have also defaced a painting by drawing a penis on it, didn't you?
I don't know about that. I don't remember drawing a penis on a painting.
Given the state you were in, it's entirely possible that you did that, even if you don't remember it to this day, correct?
Drawing a penis on a painting was not the first thing on my mind.
However, I may have done it.
Yeah, there's a big possibility.
The first thing on my mind is, where are we going to get blow in Boston? The second thing on my mind is, where's that painting with the penis on it?
It should have a penis.
Let's have
messages to write, reminders.
You testified that...
He had reminders that he had to write with his bloody finger. Oh, this guy is wild. Totally, I'm telling you. Get me a date with this guy. I'm so interested in this. This is just insane to
me.
It really is insane.
You wrote on the mirror, and I don't remember exactly what you said, but you essentially said that you wrote things about your past with Miss Heard or grievances that you had with her, correct?
Reminders, yes.
Reminders, get a fucking post-it note, dude.
There's the notes. There's the notes app in your phone. Yeah. It works great.
Have a great day at work, honey. I wrote that with my eyeball that I took out of my head.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, it's me. I just wanted to call, let you know I cut off my toe. I wrote you a love note. Left it at your parents' house. It's on the front door. Hey girl, what's up? It's me. I took one of our parishioners. I cut off their arm, and I brought it to the house and wrote it and left you their arm just to remind you to call me. I left it with a phone in it, remind you to call me. I put a burner phone in the arm so you call me when you get a chance. Thanks, girl.
In my hand.
Thanks, girl.
Charlie Depp. All right, one more about drugs.
Okay.
You've seen this picture before, Mr. Depp, right?
Yes, I have.
Yes. And this is a picture that was taken in Ms. Heard's former house or apartment on Orange Avenue after you two began dating, correct?
Yes, sir, and it's quite a composition. The composition of the photograph is very interesting.
I think that's something we can agree on.
This attorney's so out of his league.
What is the picture?
The picture is a table, a glass table, that has a bottle of whiskey, a glass of whiskey, a professional Coke snorting glass straw, the kind that you have to go and purchase.
Wow.
Yeah. Just for those of you that have never done this particular drug, that's usually not how the drug is ingested.
Yeah.
Someone has an extra dollar bill on them, right. Possibly a McDonald's straw. Like, there's not that much thought put into it. But I don't know. You know, I haven't done this in many, many years. I don't know. Maybe the kids today have their own personal, you know, with COVID and everything, you got to take precautions.
Yeah.
So it's a glass straw.
Okay.
And then there are many lines of what seems to be cocaine cut out on the table, and there's also a box sitting on the table, a like a pewter box, and the box says JD's special box, right?
Okay.
So it's Johnny Depp or JD's magic box or something like that. But it's pewter, and it's probably about 3 inches by 3 inches in square.
Yeah.
But it's about 3 inches deep too, so it'd be like a box that you would open, almost like a trinket box or something,
right?
Now listen,
Your Honor, move for admission of Exhibit 1085 and ask for permission.
No
to
objection, Your Honor.
All right, 1085, published in evidence.
I object.
This picture you recall Mr. Depp was taken in or around March of 20.
I object, Your Honor. I would never snort cocaine like that. I only snort yellow cocaine. It's not my cocaine. I don't snort street cocaine, Your Honor. I buy it straight in Colombia.
Or my doctor.
Can you imagine the kind of connections that Johnny Depp must have?
All over the world.
All over the world. Like anybody becomes like, you know, he just walks into a room, points at his nose, and people do like cocaine exactly. just falls into his hand. Yeah, here. I think I heard, remember Artie Lang? I mean, he's not dead, but Artie Lang was, he was Howard Stern's sidekick for a while.
Okay.
Him and,
okay.
you know, he came in when Fred left, but he had this very famous kind of falling down scenario where he got addicted to heroin while he was on.
God.
But it was because a lot of people would just hand him drugs after the show. They loved him so much that after he would get on stage in a comedy show and he would get off, people would just hand him stuff left and right. And one time some guy just handed him a bag of heroin. And he's like, no, I'm not going to shoot myself with heroin. He's like, you don't have to. You snort it, right? And it was a whole spiral down then. And he tried to attempt suicide while he was on the show by sticking a knife in his stomach. Can you imagine?
What?
I know, it's fucking crazy. Oh but God. Like famous people, they don't play by the same rules.
No, they don't. I'm sure musicians get it too, obviously. Johnny, anybody who's a star.
Cocaine is still used as a pharmaceutical to this day. They have liquid cocaine. You know, when you get, I think, let me say this, but I believe that when you get Novocaine, it has similar principles. Novocaine does, why it can cause your heart to race and your mouth to numb, right? And so some of these people, they just call their doctor and their doctor gives them whatever legal version of whatever it is they want.
Yeah,
they don't
or
play
you
by
just
the same
know
rules.
The cartel
yeah.
somewhere,
yeah, that's
wherever.
True. Yeah, I know.
Like,
Johnny
pick
Depp,
your place. Yeah.
Johnny Depp does not get his blow from the dishwasher at your local restaurant. No. That's for sure. He doesn't pay $30 for a half a gram. That guy, I'm probably dating myself
so much.
He's
buying in bulk.
I'm probably dating myself so much the kids are like, $30 for half a gram? That's cheap. Where's Brian getting $30 for half a gram?
Hey, girl, just wanted to let you know that cocaine due to inflation is $120 per gram. You want the good stuff, call me. I've partied with Johnny. Johnny's been to my church before.
After you'd fallen off the wagon, right?
That's one way to fall off the wagon.
Yeah, a bottle of whiskey and 17 lines of cocaine.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what date?
March of 2013, I believe,
March
right?
March 2013.
Does that ring a bell?
No, Your Honor, it doesn't.
Did
Was
you
that
see
a
that?
Day that I did drugs, Your Honor? I'd like to ask the question. Yeah. I've got on my drug calendar here that I did not do cocaine that day, Your Honor. That was an ecstasy day. I don't like to mix the two around. You know how it goes.
Leg day, arm day.
Leg
like
day,
at the
arm day,
at the gym.
Blow day, X day. Shroom day, weed day. You know how it is. You can't mix your two, Your Honor. It becomes a problem when you're trying to, when you're trying to act in the world's best movie, when you're trying to get another Best Picture or Academy Award, Your Honor, you can't mix your drug days. That's not a cocaine day, I remember.
If March 23rd,
As if he would remember.
Yeah.
As if he would remember.
I mean, I don't remember March 23rd, 2015. Yeah. 13?
I don't remember March 23rd, 2022.
I don't either.
Yeah, and that was like 16 days ago.
Yeah.
I had fallen off the wagon from when I was doing Lone Ranger, when Mr. was with me when I was sober.
Okay.
But that was, the whiskey that's on the table was, that was an average. Every day I would come home to her place and there would be a glass of whiskey waiting for me.
And you would sometimes drink whiskey in the mornings too, right? During this time period.
Isn't happy hour any time?
Well, yes, Johnny. Well,
that's going to be a drop in our show. That's classic. That's classic Johnny Depp right there. I mean, the guy is just...
Yeah. For him, it is. He can just fly to a different time zone, too. And, like, wherever.
I mean, yeah.
What time? What time do you need it to be?
Your Honor, I'd like to point out that in my script, it says it's dark outside when I'm filming. Right. I'm a little confused about the time, Your Honor. I had to get in the mood. I had to be on the set early in the morning, but I was filming a night scene. That's why I was doing copious amounts of cocaine and drinking, Your Honor. Your Honor, I'd like to point out that, can I have a moment to take some shrooms? Do you mind, Your Honor? Can the court recess briefly while I do another bump? I'm starting to lose my high. It's becoming agitating.
Yeah.
Your Honor, am I allowed to smoke? No, not allowed to smoke cigarettes. And what about crystal meth? Would that be okay, Your Honor? Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. Would Your Honor like a Xanax?
Right.
Is this attorney
boring? Can I give that lawyer one of my pills that make people stop talking?
Is this attorney boring you like he's boring me? Your Honor, permission to approach the attorney with some Vicodin. Oh, this guy is a bucket of monkeys, dude. I love it.
It's very fascinating.
You know, part of what made me feel so, I don't know. So now I say connected because I was never felt connected to Hunter S. Thompson. He just lived a different life than any of us will ever live.
Right.
Right. And while I had my fun times, I certainly wasn't living a lifestyle like Johnny Depp. No way. But part of what made me feel excited about Hunter S. Thompson was at that time back in the 90s when I was growing up to talk about these things so out in the open, to give these experiences words and verbalize how you felt and what you did and the things that were going on in your brain. Johnny Depp is showing the exact same kind of gonzo journalism right on the stand. Now, I want to say that abuse, emotional abuse and physical abuse is a very serious thing, as is drug addiction and alcoholism. Mm-hmm. I'm not poking fun at those, but this is a fucking comedy show. So, I mean, come on, guys, I'm just having a little bit of fun with it. I'm always apologizing before I do anything because I'm so afraid that, not afraid, but I can already hear the commenters like, you know, alcoholism is a very, I know it's a very serious issue if you're a regular person, but if you're Johnny Depp, you just drink. That's what you do. Johnny Depp is a bucket of monkeys.
Yeah. He's letting it all out on the stand.
You think we can? Think we can? There's a possibility of getting him on the show.
If we
just
have drugs,
zoom in. I don't have any drugs. I don't either. But I could pay for the drugs. Yeah. Like I could say, here, let me sell you $50.
$50.
$50 will get me through 9:30 a.m. But I'll need to re up at 10. Hey, Johnny, it's me from the TCB. It's me, executive coordinator of TCB. I'm just calling to find out how much money I need to sell you for tomorrow's interview for the drugs. $7,000 will get me through the first part of the interview.
That's what it sounds like.
I know.
On this. Wow.
He pays for the best. Yeah. Johnny probably only goes premium gold on everything,
of course.
Too. Yeah. He's probably buying pharmaceuticals straight from the pharmaceutical company.
Probably.
Yeah, he's probably calls him up.
Good afternoon, AstraZeneca. Yes, me, Johnny Depp. I'm trying to get a hold of some fentanyl lollipops.
Oh, Mr. Depp, one moment.
Could you put me in touch with my sales rep, please?
Right.
You know that's what's going on.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
so corrupt. But, you know, to each their own. Anyway, Johnny Depp is on Johnny Depp's on trial.
Yes.
And it's a whole
I'm excited to see what unfolds.
It's a whole shit show. You should tune in sometimes.
Is it just on the internet or is it
on the internet? It's on CBSnews.com and MSNBC. I think even Fox is carrying it, but they're not carrying it on the regular. You have to go to like the website or
you
know, CNBC2 or whatever.
Yes. Okay.
But there's a lot of people that are interested in this. And the one video that I was taking cutting up clips from had 2.5 million views. And it just was published on Friday. 2.5 million views.
Everybody else is excited to watch,
Every
too.
Other podcaster's doing the same thing. So I'm sorry if you turned us on to get a break from Johnny Depp. And here we are. But that's how it goes.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Right here in the TCB studios.
We're right here.
All the time. We're right here. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. No, Your Honor, I wasn't trying to get more ecstasy. I was just trying to get some ecstasy.
Yeah, not more.
Not more. I just wanted
some. Out.
Yeah. What is more, Your Honor? If I'm out, then I'm not just getting some?
Yeah.
I'm married to the truth, Your Honor. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go. You can find out more about Chrissy and I. Read all about us. Listen to all the audio, watch all the video. Exciting news. You can now get Chrissy and I on video on Spotify.
That's right.
You can watch all the full episodes on Spotify, and I'm going to start putting clips up there too. But it's a different channel than the audio channel. That's just the way Spotify's working it for right now. So go search for TCB Live, or we'll put a link on the website and in the show notes. TCB Live, The Commercial Break Live is how you have to search it. And when you search The Commercial Break Live, you'll see the same Commercial Break logo, but with a big blue Live under it. That's it. If you click play, you can see the video version on your Spotify app while you're driving. No? When you're drugging. When you're being your own little Johnny Depp world, you can watch The Commercial Break Live. We're building out the back catalog, so there's just a few of the most recent episodes, but I'm building out the back catalog as we go along. Again, I'll start to put clips up there on a daily basis, as well as youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Still the only place you can find every single piece of video that The Commercial Break has ever done on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Please subscribe and like, if you would, your favorite video at The Commercial Break. And 661-237-8296, 661, best to yo. Text us questions, comments, concerns, and if you want to be on the show, let us know. Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
That's right.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you, Brian.
And until next time, we always say we do say we must say bye. Bye.